AM 1230 WJBC with Scott Laughlin and Kevin Bessler, joined on the line now by Congressman Rodney Davis. Good morning, Congressman.
Good morning, Scott and Kevin. How are you guys?
Oh, great. We're okay. Hey, happy Easter break to you. You worked hard.
Well, thank you, Scott. It's always difficult prepping to have to do battle with you on the radio in the morning.
All right. So I answer me honestly.
I always answer you honestly.
Did you vote in you voted for this budget?
I voted for the appropriations that actually fund the budget that we passed a few weeks ago, yeah.
All right. Did you have you read all 2,000 pages?
Oh, no one is going to say that they have sat down and read 2,300 pages. However, you have to remember, this was an appropriations bill. Many of those appropriation bills that we have already passed and already read were lumped together in this bill, in the omnibus bill.
The omnibus bill,
and
yeah.
We wouldn't have had to do this if the Senate would have taken all of our bills, all of our appropriations bills that we passed over to them months ago, and we did our job in the House, took the power of the purse, and unfortunately they didn't pass them individually or in small groups like we did, and unfortunately we had to bind them all together. But the key point, the key document to read is the budget agreement that we passed a few weeks ago that actually was a two-year budget agreement. All this bill did was actually fund the categories that were put in place. This is a funding bill. This is not an authorizing bill like the tax bill was when it came to tax policy, like the health care bill was when it came to health care policy. Of course, you sit down and you read those authorizing bills because they change the underlying policies that are going to be used to implement new laws. This bill yesterday just funds the categories that we already approved a few weeks ago.
All right. So there obviously, you know, anytime something is passed like that, there's good, there's bad. What's good?
Funds our military at levels that they've needed because they've been decimated by across-the-board cuts. Now, Republicans and Democrats alike over the last few years have not had the courage to get away from what we call sequestration, across-the-board cuts, and reprioritize how we spend in Washington. Nobody wanted to make tough decisions. We did that when we passed our budget agreement a few weeks ago. We also have historic funding for opioid abuse. The Secure Our Schools program that you and I talked about last week has actual money appropriated to help school districts hire resource officers, get training that they desire, make capital upgrades. These are the types of programs that we just talked about that needed to happen. These were successes. We fixed the 199 glitch in the tax code. These are big wins that are beyond just appropriating the dollars or categories that would have been approved a few weeks ago. But there's some losses too. The Democrats walked away on a long-term DACA fix, and I think that's tragic.
Yeah, and because, they walked away from it because the president wanted $25 billion for the wall, and they just didn't want to do that.
I'm sick and tired of hearing Chuck Schumer and Dick Durbin and those who say they want to fix the DACA problem make up an excuse every day. I'm sure the president will use some foul language and then take any proposal off the table again for these guys. They don't want to negotiate a solution, Scott and Kevin. They want this to be a political issue, and we all know that we need more border security, and frankly, there was funding for more border security in this bill, but they want to use the rhetoric of the president to not have progress, then shame on them.
Going back to the wall, the president mentioned that he's going to have Mexico help pay for it. You think that's going to happen?
Yeah. Well, the president said a lot of things during the campaign. The president said a lot of things don't happen. There are a lot of things that he says that do happen. And frankly, when he puts a focus on border security, I think that's good for America. We need more border security. And anyone who says we don't is kidding themselves. If we don't put physical structures along portions of the southern border right now, then all we're doing is giving part and parcel to the drug lords and those who are bringing heroin and manufactured methamphetamine, ICE, into our rural communities in central Illinois. All you got to do is talk to local law enforcement. They can tell you there's a need for physical structure along portions of the border down south. And anyone who says there's not, I can't, kidding themselves on what's actually happening.
So if he's not going to have Mexico pay for the wall, and you believe that, right? You believe that Mexico is not going to pay for the wall.
Well, we just appropriated dollars again for the Department of Homeland Security for border security. So I don't remember Mexico cutting checks.
Yeah. All right. Hey, let's go to back to the military, because I saw that the military personnel are going to get a raise of 2-point-something%. Well, I would have hoped. I don't know. I'm going to ask you a question you probably don't have the answer to, but what percent of the military budget goes to salaries? Because I thought...
I don't know that answer.
Yeah, I thought 2%, you know, 2-and-some-change% was kind of puny.
It's actually one of the largest raises that our military personnel have had.
Well, that's even more sad.
Long overdue.
Yeah.
It is, and it goes to show you that what has been happening in this country to our military men and women who we count on to protect our homeland, they have been shortchanged for far too long. They have been pushed to the back of the line when it came to priorities, their equipment, their training, their readiness, and their salaries has been caught up in this political game of what we call Washington, the lack of courage of both parties to actually address the drivers of the debt without decimating the military. This is historic military funding in the last few decades, historic increases in investments in our men and women in uniform. And we need to continue to reprioritize how Washington spends money. And this is a good thing to do when it comes to our U.S. military and giving them the resources that they need.
How about the money going to infrastructure? Are you happy with the dollar amount there?
Yeah, I'm glad that the Tiger Grant program, as Mayor Koosh can tell you, they want more opportunities in the town of Normal to apply for funding for large projects that they're ready for and willing to compete against other communities for. That was a good thing that was in this bill. But I think we still have to talk about a long-term fix to our highway trust fund that becomes more diversified. And also, the president is very interested in giving another booster shot of extra infrastructure funding, and we have to see if both sides are willing to come together to make that happen over the next 7 months.
All right, Congressman, let's shift gears here and talk about what went down yesterday. China announced a response to President Trump's tariff hike, and farmers around here are a little nervous. What can you say to calm them down?
Well, they should be nervous, and that's why we are consistently watching whether or not there's any impact on the president's rhetoric and proposals. I think farmers can rest assured that most of the other marketplaces that their products go out into are going to be exempt from any proposal that the president has put forth. But let's not kid ourselves. China is not a fair trader. China is not a fair trader, not just on the steel side, but also on the agricultural side. I've talked to grain handlers in central Illinois that can tell you that those products that get into the Chinese ports sometimes don't make it through inspection before they're not able to go into the Chinese marketplace. So they're not doing things fairly in the ag side now, and something has to be done. And when it comes to steel, something had to be done. China would subsidize their steel, subsidize their industry, and I think all knowing that if it would decimate the U.S. steel industry, that's a tremendous national security concern right here in the United States of America.
So do you believe we could win a trade war?
No, there's not going to be a trade war. But frankly, China's got to do better. And if anyone looks at the last few administrations, we have to understand that China was never held to the same accountability standards when it comes to steel that the U.S. was held to. And when it comes to steel, all you have to do is look right outside my district in Granite City, Illinois. Mike Boss and I did everything we could to shorten the adjudication process just a few short years ago to allow our government to go after violators. But it wasn't enough to keep a plant in Granite City open, and 2,000 workers lost their jobs. Well, a day after the president announced he was going to do something to make the global steel commodity trade more fair, you know what? They re-announced they're going to reopen and hire immediately 500 workers back. That's a great path to be on. We have to have a domestic steel industry. Our domestic steel industry doesn't have the risk management tools and risk management opportunities that many in the agricultural side do. And that's why I think many of our agricultural sector understand the need to address steel.
There was a survey of dozens, if not hundreds, of CFOs. They answered the question, do you think that this will affect your companies in a negative way? And an overwhelming majority of them said yes. And some said that this could be job loss, net loss here in America. What do you say to that?
Well, I would hope some of those CFOs look at the great tax bill that we passed that's allowing historic economic growth and would take some of those savings and invest in their employees. If there is domestic steel not being produced in this country to make products that those companies make, then they need to come to us as policymakers to actually help incentivize the increase in domestic production of steel. I'm more than happy to go to U.S. Steel and ask them why a particular brand of steel is not manufactured in this country. But when you look at the president's tariffs and his proposal, much of the imported steel is coming from Canada, it's coming from the EU, it's coming from Mexico, it's coming from our trading partners rather than China. So the fear that many of these CFOs have is probably the fear of the unknown. Well, now it's known. If they're importing their steel from those countries, there's not going to be any change. But if they're importing their steel and they're taking that steel that's been illegally dumped into this country, then shame on them. And they ought to be acting differently, and they ought to be doing what they can to encourage more domestic steel production.
All right. And now we're going to wrap this up with a question. We were talking, how do you deal with, or do you even pay attention? Because, you know, you're going through the omnibus bill. You're focused on that and several other things, the rank and file is. Are you paying any attention to the minutia that's following the president in the way of the people leaving his administration, new people coming in, the alleged affairs with the Playboy bunnies and porn stars? How much attention do you pay to that?
Zero.
That was my guess this morning. I don't know how you could.
I'm not into the In Touch magazine and National Enquirer stuff.
This isn't In Touch and National Enquirer. This is going to be on 60 Minutes this Sunday.
Hey, you know, it's unfortunate. I would have hoped that these issues wouldn't arise under any administration, but we can't get caught up in them. And the fact of the matter is, you know, let the continuing investigations on other subjects continue. Let's let the professionals do their job. And frankly, that's what I'm trying to do. And do my job, and that's why I'm glad that we passed this bill yesterday. It's going to keep government open. That's going to also fund our military, secure our schools, and ensure that our grain handlers back home, our ag sector, has a competitive environment too.
And you know, Congressman, there was even a little bit with a gun measure, right? And that was not necessarily guns themselves, but talk about that.
Well, it's a fixed mix. It's the criminal instant background check system.
Yeah.
It's what many have been asking for that we passed out of the House months ago and was sitting over in the Senate. That's why I have bipartisan scorn for the processes that the Senate uses. This will actually fix any glitches in the background check system that allow people like the Sutherland Springs shooter to still have access to a gun. But in the end, we have to have people on the ground actually use the laws that we have effectively. When you look at Parkland, if this person, the shooter in Parkland, would have been charged with a felony like he should have been for bringing a gun to school, which led to his being expelled, he wouldn't have had access to any guns. And when you look at Sutherland Springs, that shooter there was dishonorably discharged by the U.S. military, but the U.S. military did not send the information to the National Criminal Background Check System to say you can't buy a firearm. These are simple steps that we hopefully made easier to take when it comes to fixing this background system, but it's still going to take people on the ground doing their job to ensure that the laws that we have on the books are followed, and unfortunately, they weren't followed in the last two instances I mentioned.
Well, yeah, you know, and Jeff Sessions said it a couple of weeks ago. We're going to start enforcing the laws we already have on the books. That'd be a good start right there. So, yeah. All right. Hey.
It would be a tremendous start.
All right. You on Easter break now?
Yeah, heading down south. We've got open office hours in the southwest part of my district. So heading down there right now as we speak on Interstate 55. And got a meeting of our agricultural advisory board. I'm sure many of the issues that we discussed today are going to come up.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, safe travels. Happy Easter. We'll talk to you at your regularly scheduled time, because this was a bonus Rodney Davis, wasn't it?
Bonus with Scott and Kevin. Okay. What else could I ask?
All right. Hey, are the blossoms coming out when? Next month?
Oh, man. You always get me. Yes, it'll be coming up probably in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah. We're coming out.
I always miss them.
We're going to come out. You're not going to be in Washington? We'll come out and stay at your palatial office there on the futon. We'll do our show from there during the blossoms.
Sounds good. Don't make the futon too big. Those offices aren't that big.
All right. Thanks, Congressman. Good talking to you. We'll do it again.
See you, man.
All right. Congressman Rodney Davis on WJBC.